Here, I might have grabbed the wrong music. How was that for lightening the mood up there, DC fans? I don't know what to tell you. This is the Hollywood Outsider, or I guess I should...
This is the Hollywood Outsider.
As we're going to talk about Batman versus Superman, it's a special episode. Can anybody do that voice very well?
The voice in this film was so much better.
I don't know,
than
Justin.
Anything Christian Bale could produce for his bat voice.
Why?
Sorry, I'm addicted to it. I've been doing it ever since I saw the movie. I can't do a robot voice, but I can kind of do... I can do a Stallone version of the Batman voice.
Hey-o. Hey-o.
You can do a Stallone version of anybody.
Well, this is the Hollywood Outsider weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We've got a new episode every week, but this is a special episode of our show as we are going to discuss the latest DC opus, Batman versus Superman. We're going to start the episode spoiler-free, so you will get a feel for what we thought of the movie before we dive into the spoiler territory, so that's the first 5-10 minutes. If you want to get right into spoilers, skip ahead. Be sure to get the Ho on the Go, their Apple or Android apps. Just look for the Hollywood Outsider in your app store of choice. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or, what, like I said, whatever your app store of choice is. Please share the show with your friends. Leave us a review if you can. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow hoes, Scotty Clark.
Holy split reviews, Batman.
It's a coming. Well played. Justin McCumber.
What is going on? I have a feeling that I'm going to be pretty alone.
I don't think so. I think there's a good representation of the movie going public here. And Brian Williams.
And you should feel like that. You should feel, you know, pretty much used to that feeling.
Why is Brian so mean?
Because he's Southern.
I mean, what did I do?
I don't know. Well, hang on. We got a list. Let me look. Let me get it.
Yeah, hang on.
To him.
Oh, well, that's a his list.
All right. What's up, fellas?
What's going on? So we all went into, I guess before we get into the whole spoiler-free stuff, can I ask how were the crowds when you guys went and saw this movie?
Huge.
Huge?
Yeah, it was pretty much packed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Huge. The crowds were huge.
They were huge. Yeah.
It was the best ever. Trump.
There were a lot of really young kids, too. I think they were most excited than anybody, just like sitting in the seats. I was actually sitting next to a kid or two kids that were like arguing, having this heated debate over who was going to win. It was adorable.
Were either
it's like,
were,
oh, they really think somebody's going to lose.
Yeah, right.
Were either of them right?
I don't know. Are we getting into spoiler territory?
Oh yeah, yet, I guess it's early. I can't really go into that yet. Damn. Who all? I know Scott and I went and saw it IMAX 3D. Where did you guys see?
It was 3D, standard, but it wasn't IMAX.
Standard,
just the standard 2D.
You didn't want to spring the extra $3? Huh? Is that what you're telling
me? The only 3D showing I had here in this small podunk town was like at 10 o'clock or so at night. And
in Georgia for 3D, don't they just basically have people who run the screen at the audience and then they pull it back? And then they
it's on a track.
They pull it back, yeah.
They do. It's you've got people behind it. There's about 10 people. They all push forward on it.
Oh.
Do they still make you wear glasses?
Just so you don't notice all the feet beneath the screen.
They tell them it's 3D, but it's really just clear plastic. It's like saran wrap colored.
No, they got the old school ones that are still like red and blue on either side.
Oh, yeah. So
they haven't sprung for the fancy ones.
Yeah, and we don't have surround sound. We just got a guy in the back just blowing like... Just for like
on a,
wind
somebody
noise.
On a calliope.
Yeah. He's got some plastic wrappers to make it sound like fire crackling in the background.
Get the ushers walking up and down the line, saying the lines with the movie, so it sounds like it's coming at you from all sides.
Do you bleed, Bob?
All right. Well, let's do it spoiler-free first. What is your, let's go round robin, your succinct, Justin, spoiler-free thoughts on Batman versus Superman? Justin, you can go first. Everybody get ready.
No, I mean, I loved it. My review should really speak for itself for those who read it on the HollywoodOutsider.com website. For me, I would never say that it's a perfect film, but it was as good as I had hoped, if not better. And for me, it earned a 10 out of 10. I was giddy from beginning to end, and I left floating on a cloud.
All right, Brian, well, top that. Floating on a cloud.
I really kind of thought this was a good idea, kind of using the Man of Steel storyline as a springboard, kind of showing that there's actually consequences involved, no matter how noble the deed. I love Ben Affleck as Batman. Just saying. Love what they did with Wonder Woman. Overall, I'm not as enamored, but still very pleased with it and very anxious to see what's going to be coming down the pike.
And I should reiterate, I didn't even do the plot description. Shame on me, but it's Batman versus Superman. And that's
pretty much
it's kind of in the title.
Yeah, but I should clarify that I do think you should have seen Man of Steel before you go to see this if you can, because it does play an integral part in the plot of this. So I would almost say that it's a sequel to that. You don't need to see any of the Dark Knight movies because once again we get a Batman backstory. So
yeah, but you're talking 5 minutes as opposed to an entire damn movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying I've seen it.
Still felt longer.
All right, Scott, your review.
Well, I'm on the lower end of this, and I didn't hate the movie by any means because I did enjoy a lot of moments from it. But to me, those moments were few and far between a lot of segments that just seemed to drag on for the story too much for me. If I were completely honest, I was bored for a lot of it. I literally dozed off in the theater, and this was like a noon showing or something, so it wasn't like a midnight showing. I think that where other comic book movies cater to a broad audience, this one was made more so for the hardcore fans of the comics. Like I got the impression there's a lot of references that I didn't get simply because I didn't grow up reading those like you guys did. Mm-hmm. But there were still a lot of fun spectacle moments, and I really appreciated Ben Affleck's performance as a seasoned Batman. That was kind of an interesting take. Like, we saw the very beginning of him, but now he's been doing it for 20 years, and I really did like that aspect of it. But so you want to score? Or?
Yeah, what'd you give it? If the now it's full price permission, you gave it what?
$5.
$5.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin,
what did Brian give it?
7.25. Oh, I'm sorry, 7.5.
7.25? What?
No, it's like 7.5.
All right.
You wanted that extra quarter to spring for Jew Bears at the theater.
Yeah,
that's right.
This movie has a lot going on. Painting Superman as a deity to the masses. I really like that aspect of the storyline, by the way. Batman's the anti-hero who sees Supes as a long-term threat. Plus, you've got Lex Luthor, Diana Prince, and her weirdly Israeli accent, and a whole bunch of other stuff going on. There are some plot holes, some legitimately bad editing, way too many dream sequences. The music is so bombastic, I think I honestly left thinking I just left a Guns N' Roses concert. My ears were just boom, so many drums.
It was IMAX too.
It was, and I'm trying. I give it some caveat for that because maybe it's just the IMAX setup. Like, they're determined to deafen you.
Our particular theater seems loud every time I go to the IMAX. Like, the music really seems loud in every movie that I see there.
Like it, yeah, and mine wasn't overwhelming at all.
Well, hang on, let me finish mine. All right, Zack Snyder, creepily obsessed with slow motion. I'll talk about that in the spoiler section. Seriously, I mean, you can use it sparingly, Zack. You don't, like, people are walking through a cornfield, don't need slow motion there.
Has he reached John Woo status for you yet?
It's getting
J.J. Abrams backed off the lens flares.
Yeah, needs to happen. But even with those complaints, I had a legitimately good time. Affleck is great. We talked about him. I re-listened to when we talked about him on episode 107. Where we talked about the casting of Affleck because it caused such an uproar. And I'm glad that we were on his side then, so we don't look like jackasses now. And Henry Cavill, still solid, and I'm looking forward to Justice League. I give it 750. There you go.
There you go.
Now, last spoiler-free portion, if you were a dad, I guess I am one, but the rest of you aren't. So if you were, would you take your kids to see this? And if so, what is too young for a kid to see this movie?
I want to say I wouldn't, but again, I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to say that for sure, because if I had kids and they wanted to see this movie so bad, I'd probably buckle under pressure. But to me, the reason the kids are excited for this one is because they want to see Batman and Superman duke it out. And to me, that only felt like a small part of this movie. There was a lot of buildup, a lot of, like you mentioned, dream sequences, and the actual battles seemed really short to me for a movie called Batman versus Superman. And I don't know, I think it's just way too dark for a lot of kids. It's less of a fun, and I say that in quotes, mm-hmm. comic book movie. It's got that darker tone, which, you know, is good for a lot of people. I just think that some parents might be expecting something different taking their kids to it. As far as too young, man, it's a PG-13, right?
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean that they're right. There's a lot of things they say are PG-13 that aren't necessarily.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm really bad at coming up with ages for, that's appropriate. You know, I'm not a dad. I don't. That's
just
a weird
a teacher.
I'm just a teacher. Yeah.
Would you let your students see it? Fourth or fifth grade students see it?
Well, I don't really have any control over that, but I would.
I'm saying, let's say it was a Nazi classroom and and your kids were Jews. Would you take them to this movie?
Probably just, but more so just because I'm a sucker and want to give them what they want.
All right.
And, you know, I'd feel kind of guilty about it, but.
Gotcha. All right, Brian, what about you?
He didn't answer. Well, haven't the Jews suffered enough?
He didn't hate
it. I bet you missed the joke.
Story of my life.
Yeah. I mean, if I was a parent or, you know, irresponsible uncle figure, I would.
Hello.
I'd probably take a kid to see it. It's as long as they kind of felt old enough to maybe get some of the basic concepts of it. If I didn't have to spend the whole movie explaining it, then I mean, so I don't. Again, I kind of to echo Scott's point. I'm not sure what age that is. 10. I mean, I don't know. 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that range. I can remember seeing movies that I shouldn't be watching as a kid. So there's that part of me that kind of says it's okay. So
he had bad parents though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron, didn't your mom take you to see like Friday the 13th when you were like seven. 9 or something?
I was seven. Yeah, I was seven. So that's the number I'm going with. I'm saying 7 is probably the magic number. It's there's a lot of dark themes here, and I don't mean it's.
Is that what's on the side of your white van?
It is, and you guys know your child better than I do. Maybe.
But, 7's your magic number.
But 7's the magic number. I think, yeah, I'll go with that, because it is. It's a heavy, and I don't mean dark as in it's just gloomy and stuff like that. Because I actually think it's a fun movie. It's just a different kind of fun. It's not yay. It's more oh. And but it is entertaining, but there's a lot of weighty themes that I think kids might not understand, and there's a lot of underlying darkness that I don't know if a six-year-old would really get. 7, let's say 7. Justin?
See, I'd probably go with about 10. I mean, I would feel fine with kids up, you know, down to 5, just watching it for whatever spectacle they can get out of it. They're not. Whatever complexities are there, they're really not going to get. But I think at 10 years old, that's the time when, and this is a kind of movie that I think would work well as a springboard for a conversation. And I don't think we as adults perhaps use those opportunities enough. So if a 10-year-old watches it, you know, if it was my son or my daughter or my kids, after we watched it, we'd probably go and get some food. And while we're eating, let's talk about the film a bit. What did you think of this? What did you think of that? Because as you said, there are a lot of weighty themes and elements. This movie asks questions of us. And those that are, I think, 10 and up are probably better suited to have a conversation about that. Don't just show it to them and then walk away. Use it as a good time, an opportunity.
Okay. Well, there is the last of our spoiler-free section. Now we're going to jump into spoiler territory. We're going to segue with a little clip.
What's your position, the Bat Vigilante in Gotham? Daily Planet. Wait, do I own this one? Or is that the other guy? Civil liberties are being trampled on in your city. Good people living in fear. Don't believe everything you hear, son. I've seen it, Mr. Wayne. He thinks he's above the law. The Daily Planet criticizing those who think they're above the law is a little hypocritical, wouldn't you say? Considering every time your hero saves a cat out of a tree, you read a puff piece editorial about an alien who, if he wanted to, could burn the whole place down. There wouldn't be a damn thing we could do to stop it.
Most of the world doesn't share your opinion, Mr. Wayne.
Maybe it's the Gotham City in me, and we just have a bad history with freaks dressed like clowns.
Hint, hint, hint. That was subtle. All right, spoilers are officially allowed. This is the full-on spoiler cast. We are reacting to Batman vs. Superman. If you have not seen the movie, turn around. Or maybe you don't want to see it and you just want to tell you all about it. That's what we're going to do. This movie has been burned at the stake by critics. That's what we're going to start with. Yet audiences are painting a little bit of a different picture. So what do you think the deal is, Scotty?
I think a lot of this has to do with the competition between DC and Marvel. And I'm curious what you guys think about that, because I think Marvel's been really successful with doing, you know, a lot of different properties from that universe. I mean, you get the serious ones, you've got the Deadpools, you've got Iron Man that has comedy built into it, you've got Ant-Man, which is quirky. But I like, people seem so caught up in comparing the two, because DC kind of feels like they're playing catch up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much hype surrounding this movie, and it kind of set certain expectations. So, you know, I think that has something to do with it, because people were just expecting the great. Ever since this was announced at, was it Comic-Con when they first showed that trailer? You saw the trailer, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just, their minds were blown. And
you're like,
and
oh, and there wasn't really anything to look at.
Yeah, it was just like the two symbols like kind of overlaid over each other.
Well, they showed Batman signaling the light, and then Superman in the light, which I don't even remember. Was that really? I don't think that was necessarily part of the movie.
Yeah.
It was. But I think it was a different shot. I think it was done different. But even if it was the same, that's really all you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to that. Whether we're talking about the old wars between whether you were a Nintendo or a Sony guy or a Microsoft guy, it's as though people kind of, we have this innate need to have a tribe. Mm-hmm. And whether it's local to us or now the internet, global, we want to feel like we belong to something. And so quite often we make these stupid decisions that, okay, it has to be one or the other. It can't be both. You have to pick a side. Are you DC? Are you Marvel? Are you Sony? Are you Nintendo? Are you this? Are you that? And it's foolish, but I do think that it's kind of something that we as humans just naturally do. And I think that Marvel's success has caused a lot of critics out there to want to view what DC's trying to do as the Johnny Come Lately copycat, or they're too late to the game. Marvel's already got this, so why bother? But I also think that there is a lot of clickbait that's involved in some reviews. I think people write these incredibly negative reviews knowing that those are going to be the ones that are going to get clicked on. Mm-hmm. And that's what they care about more. They don't care whether you agree. They just want your click so they can increase ad revenue.
I think there's some of that, but
some, not all. But yeah. Some.
Even if you look at respectable, sorry, I mean, you look at Variety, Hollywood Reporter, a lot of the major ones, they gave it, and most of them weren't scathing reviews. They were just, it was okay. I mean, that's really what the average was. I didn't see many scathing, hatred-filled reviews. It was more like, it was all right. It didn't blow me away. And I think that's fair. I mean, a lot of those that I read were very fair, and a lot of their points were valid. A lot of the issues they had, I had some of them too, so I totally get it. I just could look past some of them more. Some of them didn't affect my viewing of the movie like it did theirs, and you know. But there were also a lot of, this isn't the Superman I want. It's, you know, a lot of people have that 80s viewpoint of Superman where it was Christopher Reeve, and
it was very light.
Very light, very joyous, very upbeat.
Soft.
I wouldn't say soft. He was still.
Well, the focus always seemed like there was a little bit of Vaseline on the,
yeah, I get,
on the lens, especially with the lowest.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. It was also the 80s. They could only do so much. And you know, I think a lot of people are like, that's not the Superman I remember from the comics. My argument to that is there's like 47 variations or 52, whatever the number is, of those worlds. So I don't know what's what. I can't keep track of it, and I'm not an avid Superman follower. So, but if somebody messes with my Peter Parker, I would totally understand. I get it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I get it.
Were there a lot of versions of Peter Parker in the comics too?
No, but if somebody won, well, no. Well, there are some variations of it, but not like wildly dramatic, where Superman, I think, has some wildly dramatic variations.
Yeah.
And it's not fun like a Marvel movie. You know, does it need to be? Do we need everything to be like a Marvel movie? Because honestly, some of them I find to be very similar, where I would like a darker tone. Winter Soldier is really I would say, the darkest of the Marvel movies. And I think it's one of the best of the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. But I think these are some of these are legitimate complaints. Some of that is, like Justin said, I do think there is some clickbait in there. But I think when you've got 150 reviews and your percentage is down to like 31 or 29, whatever it is now, I mean, you have to look at that and say, okay, that's more than just a bunch of clickbaiters. That's some people that have some real issues with the movie. Some of those I think are justifiable. And but it doesn't necessarily equate to audiences' enjoyment. I think people are willing to look past a lot more than most critics are. And I think that's where the discrepancies are.
Opinion. Yeah, it's 29% of the tomato meter, but the audience score is 72.
Yeah.
So that kind of wide gulf between critic and audience tells me that, or what I would assume from that is that while I'm sure there are many critics of the film who wrote perfectly cogent and reasoned response or reviews for the film, but there's also within that number a lot of mom and pop websites that will do anything it takes to get people's attention. And so the more negative the review and the negative the title of that review that they can tweet and Facebook, the more chance they've got of getting people in.
There's definitely some of that. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. Well, the burning question.
What about Brian?
Well, I'm sorry, Brian, did you want to add? He wasn't saying anything.
No, that's fine.
I thought he fell asleep. Did you fall asleep? Or were we just talking too much?
Listen to y'all drone on? Absolutely. No, that's fine. Let's keep moving.
All right. Well, the burning question everyone has had for a while now is on Ben Affleck as Batman. Remember, it started an internet firestorm because people were like, no, not Daredevil.
Not Batfleck.
So, Brian, how did the Affleck do?
I loved him. I told you this via text or whatever, that he's my second favorite Batman so far. Michael Keaton is still my favorite, and that could just be for nostalgia reasons, and this is 3 days or whatever since I've seen the movie. So I'm willing to admit that Ben Affleck may actually be my favorite, but I want to give it a little bit of time before I commit to that. I loved him as Bruce Wayne, which I think is very key to making a convincing Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the look was fantastic. He was built like a brick shit house,
wasn't he?
Good God! For a while I couldn't tell if he was just fat or what.
But really, you misconstrued that as fat.
Puffy fat.
Some of it when you see him, you see him like
waddling
in his
around
suit and stuff, and kind of he looks a little puffy and stuff. But yeah, when it showed him without it, it was like, whoa, whoever is the strength and conditioning coach for these Man of Steel and Batman movies, or that dude needs a raise. So, yeah, everything about it. I loved it. And I'm really stoked here that
obviously
that he turned
you're
up so
speechless.
Well. Oh yeah. I actually agree to a point. I will say that I really liked him as Bruce Wayne. I liked him better as Bruce Wayne than as Batman. That's not to say I didn't like him behind the mask. But I will say, I don't think he's my favorite. I think he might be my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really just happy that he delivered when a lot of people complained about him way early on when this was first announced. But it, really, really compelling as Bruce Wayne for sure.
I loved him. I think it's too early to be thrown around. For me, it's too early to throw around best ever because I feel like that's easy to jump on that train when something's fresh and new and in your mind. You know, if it 6 months, a year from now, I still feel that way, then I'll throw that title on there. I think it's too soon for me personally. But in terms of the Batman, in terms of Bruce Wayne, I haven't really liked any of the Bruce Waynes. I didn't really. Christian Bale was the best of the lot. You know, I did like George Clooney, but I think Christian Bale is probably the best of the lot. But none of them really made me go, yeah, that's Bruce frickin' Wayne. Definitely not Michael Keaton. No offense, Brian. It's Adam West I thought I liked better than Michael Keaton. So I would say that Affleck has got to be, if he's not the best, he's definitely in the conversation a year from now for Bruce Wayne for me. Loved him.
You know, what I would say is that this is my favorite version of the Batman I've ever seen on the screen. This isn't Michael Keaton's Batman. It certainly isn't Christian Bale's. Both of those guys having played Batman very early, if not at the beginning, of being Batman. This Batman's been doing it for 20 years. And in that time, he has fought crime. He has put criminals away. And yet Gotham is still full of criminals. Mm-hmm. He has had a Robin. That Robin has been killed. He's fought a hard, hard fight. And you can see that by the outfit that he looks at in the Batcave, where it says, what was it? Something about, now that's a good joke or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The outfit's Robin's outfit, because you could see the R. So obviously this is a Batman that has gone through some shit and is feeling incredibly defeated. And so I loved seeing that take on Batman, as opposed to the young and, you know, starting out my superhero career. This is a pretty worn down guy, and I think Ben Affleck plays that to a T. And yeah, the dude who, I agree with Brian, whoever trains these dudes definitely needs to get more money, because what he has done with Affleck and Cavill's bodies to turn them into these just specimens of human beings is incredible. And I think that that also plays to what DC's doing with their films, as opposed to what Marvel's been doing with theirs.
This seems like it got a little into gay fanfic a little bit.
I don't give a crap. They're both in fantastic shape. And I would let Ben Affleck hold me.
Hey, look,
I would feel so safe.
We give plenty of attention to the ladies. We got to give it to the dudes too. We got to, you know what I'm saying? We got to give props where warranted. It's definitely warranted with these movies.
Scott's been trying to bust in here. What were you saying?
I was just going to ask, are those really Henry Cavill's abs showing through that suit?
Because, oh, I don't know.
They look so defined, and I have a hard time believing.
Did you see him in Man of Steel? Man, he is magnificent. He's a specimen to behold.
I agree with you, but there's no way that...
That's sculpted. Because if you watch him walking a number of times, like it's like his thighs are just constantly flexed. They don't relax at all.
Right.
So, well, somebody's been paying attention to this.
Well, but again,
wow.
It's hard not to.
They're just constantly, they're flexed and they're ready to go, because I was watching.
This speaks to what DC is doing versus what Marvel's doing. And I love what Marvel has been doing, because nobody using spandex or whatever materials you had at the time could make a superhero outfit that actually looked like what the comic books look like. And so they replaced it with a lot of leather and other things that didn't have to have those muscle contours to them. But with today's fabrics, as well as getting these guys beefed up to a huge degree, they can actually make Superman look like on film what he looks like in the comic book, and it not look stupid. But I am sure there's plenty of little CG and shading in the costume to really emphasize that musculature. But they're sticking much to their comic book root look, whereas the Marvel films have really kind of branched off from that to a degree.
Can I, since this is the portion where we talk about Ben Affleck, can I tell you how annoyed I am at that stupid video going around where the reporter asked him and Henry Cavill in an interview, I don't know if everyone saw it or not,
yeah, we're playing some sad music as they focus in on the camera on his face.
Yeah, well, that was added later, obviously. But so the reporter's asking him how they feel about the negative critical reviews, which I can't decide if that's a crappy question or not, but whatever. And Henry Cavill gives a very politically correct response, and Ben Affleck just sits there waiting, and then he just says, "I agree," and that's all he says. And he's getting so much crap for that. I'm like, do you guys realize how much grief this guy has been put through since he took this role? I mean, he was slammed on the internet, just lambasted, torn apart, ripped apart. Everybody in the world was death threats. I remember he was getting threats. It was so stupid. And now you're
basted?
Lambasted. Maybe he was turkey basted. I don't know. You know what I'm saying, Justin?
Is it lamb blasted?
Lamb blasted.
Lambasted.
Lambasted.
It's
a Midwest regional thing. It goes basted when you're up here. So. Damn it. You're from Texas. You don't understand. So what I'm saying is, I mean, have some sympathy for the guy. Of course, he's going to get pissy with that question because it's annoying. I mean, he's had to deal with critics for the last 3 years of his life. And that's,
He's been dealing with critics since Geely.
Yeah, that's true.
He is like the whipping boy of Hollywood, but yet he keeps putting out, or at least lately, he's been putting out amazing product, but I don't think he'll ever fully escape his previous issues.
It's just dumb. And you know, the guy earned, the reporter should have thrown that in there. Hey man, I thought you were great. Reviews often are mentioning how great you are. So, but of course they don't. But whatever.
Yeah, but name one actor outside of like George Clooney or Tom Hanks that didn't have at least one turd of a movie.
I can name many actors, and most of them have several. So yeah, you're right. Absolutely. All right, well, let's go to the next clip.
You're going to go to war. That son of a bitch brought the war to us 2 years ago. Jesus, Alfred, count the dead. Thousands of people. What's next? Millions. He has the power to wipe out the entire human race, and if we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty. And we have to destroy him. But he is not our enemy. Not today.
20 years in Gotham, Alfred. We've seen what promises are worth. How many good guys are left? How many stayed that way?
Man, I didn't realize Batman was Donald Trump all of a sudden.
Boy, I've seen people compare it. It's so annoying. Like, leave the politics out of my comic book movies, you bitches. All right. Has Superman changed since the last film?
He has. You know, what a lot of people seem to miss in the first movie is that this was a Superman who had just become Superman. He had never, ever done what he was trying to do. And so, you know, they want to talk about, well, he should have been smarter in the way he fought Zod and blah, blah, blah. How do you do on your first day of your job? Probably not that great either. When you're Superman, that kind of gets magnified a bit. But in this film, you know, he's been doing it for 18 months to a year. He's still very young as a superhero, especially compared to someone like Batman, who's been doing it for 20 plus. But he's trying his hardest to do what he believes is right, to save the people that he can, and to stop the bad things that he can. The fact that some of the stuff that he does has consequences that he didn't foresee, to me, that speaks to the youth of him as a superhero. But I think that he has grown some, and he does seem more certain of himself as Superman than he was in the first one.
See, and I think that's part of the problem I had with the movie, is kind of like what Aaron alluded to earlier, where, you know, some people said this wasn't the Superman they wanted. I don't know that I have a Superman that I want, but in my mind, Superman, especially from even hearing you just talk about it, Justin, when we talked about Man of Steel years ago when that first came out, Superman has always been kind of like that shining light, the guy that always makes the right decisions. That is just like the example of what it is to be a good guy. And I feel like in this movie, there's so much conflict within him, and he's making decisions that don't seem Superman-like. Mm-hmm. I mean, the real big one to come back to is in Man of Steel, you know, where we're in spoiler territory, right?
Movie. Spoiler crap about it.
When he kills Zod, that was like a big deal for everybody.
Oh.
Because he never killed anybody, right?
No,
He had in the comics. He had in the comics.
Let's just go ahead and dispel a rumor. People saying that Superman never killed in the comic books, or Batman never shot a gun, he never killed in the comic books. Y'all ain't read comic books.
Well, they might not have read some comic books.
Superman and Batman have indeed killed people before. So his killing of Zod in Man of Steel is not something he's never done before. Don't start making negatives about the film because it doesn't match the comic books if you haven't actually read the comic
books. And understand, I fully admit that I haven't. I'm not saying that I'm comparing them to the comic books. I'm comparing them to my perception of what the character is just from what I have experienced. You know what I'm saying? Like the original movies that you alluded to earlier, or the old TV show, or even Superman Returns, whether or not you like that movie or not. I just have this picture in my mind of Superman being just there being no gray areas.
He's like Boy Scout.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's not what Superman was in this. And again, it's not, a negative on the film, or it's the way they took the story. It's just not what I expected.
See, I'm going to jump in there and give Justin a breath because I'm sure he's ready to pounce all over that one. I will disagree with that. And it's not with your perception, because I get where that perception comes from. I just don't agree with it being true. I think Superman, if you, from my mindset, throughout the movie, he is trying to do exactly what you said. He's trying to do the right thing. He doesn't want to fight with Batman. He tries to talk to him. He tries to stop Batman. You know, there's a scene where some people are mad because Superman actually stops Batman and lets people get away when they were obvious bad guys. He sees Batman as a more immediate threat. That's what Superman does. He tackles what he perceives to be the most immediate threat. He went and saved Lois. He didn't hurt anybody, but everybody's blaming him for that. He shows up at the courthouse as requested, even though he doesn't need to defend himself. He just does it because he feels the people need it. He keeps doing the right thing. It's just that Lex Luthor and the other people plotting against him have made it look very dark and ominous, where I don't think he's a dark and ominous figure. Does that make sense?
It does, totally. But I think Scott does have a point in that the Superman in these films is a bit more morally, not, I would never say he's morally ambiguous. He is always good. But I think that he has allowed, this Superman has a bit more pragmatism, perhaps, than previous iterations of Superman, especially on the big screen. But in his core, he is still a good, upright person who wants to use his powers for the best possible good that he can. And that will always be what Superman is.
I think what they're trying to do is show those hints of rage that in the comic, you know, one of the versions, is it a spoiler if it's in the comic? I don't know what the rules are on this, but
no.
Okay. Well, in one of the comics, he basically, Lois is killed and he snaps and kills everybody on the planet, which I believe is what Flash is alluding to in that little time jump. And I think they're giving you a little, like, by giving you visual aesthetics, by how he's looking, how he looks sternly, how he looks firm, his anger during the fight, like his rage during the fight. I think that's where they're trying to draw those comparisons so that maybe they can use that storyline down the road. I don't know if that's the case, but I think that's what they're alluding to.
Well, and a lot of people that I've talked to have said that they don't like Superman because he's just a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what DC is doing is reacting to that and trying to show that he's not, you know, the Boy Scout that everybody wants to think that he is, and try to add a little bit of shadow to the character. When he gets mad and his eyes glow red, he's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look at that screen and I see the way that that rage is building, and knowing what he's capable of, and then that energy in his eyes representing it, almost like his eyes are burning out from his own fury. I'm honestly, I get the chills when I see it, because that's a scary look.
Now, Brian, what about you? Were you a big Superman fan?
Honestly, you guys have pretty much made every note I had. I really don't have much to add.
Well, can I add Clark Kent? He's a shitty Clark Kent. I love Henry Cavill as Superman. He's a shitty Clark Kent. There's nothing different about him. I mean, it's basically like, so you just put on glasses and you say you're, I mean, that's where Christopher Reeve, I enjoy inviting those comparisons, because whenever people say, well, no, man, Christopher Reeve had two completely different characters, which is what I do believe Clark Kent should be. Here, there is no difference. How people don't know he's Superman boggles my mind.
Yeah, it's almost ridiculous.
It's the glasses, man.
He doesn't
change
his hair, really.
Yeah, he doesn't, no.
He doesn't do anything. He's still got that constant 5 o'clock shadow. I loved Christopher Reeve's...
Reeve, but whatever.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve, his take on the character of Clark Kent. Because as soon as his glasses went on, he became a bumbling fool.
Yep.
And that was wonderful. And that is one thing that I think that these films don't get. But I think that in the end, it doesn't matter as much to me, because Superman is basically about 90-95% of Cavill's screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Kent's not. So I don't have to deal with that much. Yeah, I'm more interested in Superman anyway, whereas Batman's Bruce Wayne is as equally interesting as the superhero he portrays.
I think Cavill's Clark Kent, just you would have no problem if you were lived in that city believing that Clark Kent could be Superman. And like you alluded to with Christopher Reeve's performance, nobody in their right mind would even consider a semblance of a thought that Clark Kent was Superman, because he was just such a different person. He was just, like you said, bumbling. He's mm-hmm. always pushing up his glasses on his face, and you don't really have any of that in this one.
He's always Dapper Dan'd down.
And, right. And you've got both of them dead at the same time, and people still aren't asking questions. I'm like, you know, for reporters, you guys are idiots. You're really dumb. All right. Well, Wonder Woman has finally hit the screen as well. This is Wonder Woman's first appearance on the big screen. It's never happened. She's always been in TV shows and other stuff. So did Gal Gadot win you over with her first screen appearance?
Yes, 100%, 1,000% yes. Going into this movie, I never expected in a million years to be excited about a Wonder Woman origin movie. But I cannot wait to see that movie. When they first reveal that Wonder Woman is actually like 100 years old, when Batman is looking at those photos, and that theme song that they're playing when they first show her in that like black and white or sepia-colored photo, it just stirred this excitement in me to want to see her more.
The one with Captain Kirk next to her?
I was going to ask, is that Captain Kirk?
Yeah, he's in
Chris
it.
Pine.
He's in it.
Yep. Okay. I kept seeing it, and I was like, is that Chris Pine? But I'm glad you confirmed it for me. But even in the actual movie, seeing her, that first shot that we see of her with her, she's actually using her bracelets to block that blast on like her shield in the movie, which was a real fun surprise for me. I wanted to stand up and cheer at that point. I don't even know anything about the character. She just looked so badass. I cannot wait to see more from her, whether it be the Justice League or her origin movie.
Brian, weren't you like super high on Gal Gadot?
I've liked her since the last few Fast and Furious movies she was in. I just really like what they did with her. I mean, she jumped into the fray like it was nothing. You know, mm-hmm. here's this being that I'm pretty sure she's not seen anything like Doomsday. And she's just jumping right in the middle of it. And she wasn't a support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wasn't a supporting character. She was headstrong.
She wasn't in the back buffing everyone.
Yeah. She, for her 8 minutes, she was pretty prominent, I guess is how you would put it.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I'm very, my wife, who is a
my wife
she is a Wonder Woman nut. Like, she has the TV show on DVD. She likes the old TV show and she loved it. I mean, that was like the biggest thing for her. I think there were a lot of women in the audience that were really excited about it. And I'm not trying to boil this down to a sexist thing, but I think it's good for girls, women, whatever, to finally have a character of that stature, you know, who can go toe-to-toe with someone like Superman, and it's a female character, because it just hasn't happened much.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. And she, like, that was her favorite part of the movie. She wanted to go rewatch the movie just for that 8 minutes of screen time of Gal Gadot.
I think my favorite moment with her was after she was knocked to the ground by Doomsday, you know, and slid like 10 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And when she looked up at the camera and just got this huge grin on her face, even though she just got knocked back and hurt, she was happy because finally there was something that she could fight again. And I think for that past 100 years, she had become bored. And now here was something worthy of bringing Wonder Woman back to the world for. And I loved it. I thought she was fantastic. My one concern was that Gal Gadot wasn't a big enough person to play the role of Wonder Woman. I still don't know if she's quite tall enough.
She's pretty lanky, too. She's a little skinny.
She's a little on the skinny side, but when they put the armor on her and the weaponry and get her on the screen, it's somehow she becomes bigger than she really is. Mm-hmm. And I was not disappointed in the way she stood with the other guys, the way she looked on screen. She was fantastic and a true fighter. I'm really anxious to see what more they do with her.
Now, what about everybody else? Brian, we got Lois, we got Alfred, we got Lex Luthor, we got Doomsday. We don't want to spend like 6 hours talking about every single character, but did anybody stand out to you? I mean, I think Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor is probably the biggest one that people are talking about. So what did you think of any of these?
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about Lex Luthor, the Jesse Eisenberg portrayal of him. I gave him credit for trying something a little different. I just thought he was a little too off his kilter, too little insane than what I perceive Lex Luthor to be. I don't perceive him to be that type of character. I think he's more businesslike. He's scheming, and while he's, you know, this person is scheming and I guess kind of methodical and all this other stuff, it's still different. And I just wasn't crazy about the wacky, quirky millennial Lex Luthor. I want that commanding captain of industry type character, that just kind of walks in and demands attention. And I just wasn't, he was too much like, he would have been a good Joker.
Yeah. That's kind of, by the end of it, I felt like it was a little more Joker-esque than Lex Luthor. Not that I disliked it, but I get what you're saying. I kind of see him more of a megalomaniac than I do a psychopath.
Right.
Yeah. So I get what you're saying. You like Doomsday?
Yeah. Overall. Yeah. I thought he looked a lot like the, lot like the comic book character, and less like some of the weaker cartoon renditions I've seen of it. But that's my two cents.
See, I liked everybody except Doomsday. I felt like that villain was almost wasted because we saw him so little, and I don't know. Maybe that's just my mind. In my mind, a comic book movie is that's the main draw of it, is the villain. Mm-hmm. And since this movie is a Batman versus Superman movie, the first half of it, or the first two thirds of it, are about that struggle. And then we only get the real threat to the two cities in that final act. And it seemed to go too quick. I don't know. And from what I've heard of people that are fans of the comics, the Doomsday is a pretty big deal. Is that correct?
Yeah, he killed Superman.
Yeah, which, you know, he did here, but I kind of get that too. Like, people complaining about it. Because I thought the movie was pretty much coming to an end. Even though I knew Doomsday was coming, in my mind, I'm like, well, they fought, so maybe this will be one of those things where they leave off, and that'll be like the start of Justice League, which I think would have been cool, but apparently that wasn't it. So, Justin, what about you?
I like Lois. She doesn't do a whole lot of reporting, but she's an emotionally powerful character for Superman. And anytime Adie Adams is on the screen, I just kind of like looking at her.
Especially when she's naked in the bathtub.
Oh, geez, yes.
You guys are so predictable.
Hey, look, we can just swoon over Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill, but we can't say anything about Lois Lane.
Oh, I like that you're bi-podcasting. That's good. Yeah.
Jeremy Irons, Alfred, we didn't get nearly enough of him, but I liked what I saw. Mm-hmm. You can definitely tell that this was a guy who at one point was in the military. And I liked the way that he wasn't just rolling over for everything that Bruce Wayne said. He stood up to him and spoke his mind and tried to bring a little bit of, you know, wisdom, temper Bruce's anger with some wisdom. And so it was fine. I actually liked Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor quite a bit. I thought a lot of his mannerisms, to me, it felt like it was an act on his part to kind of keep people off of who he really is and just kind of give them this other persona to think that this is me. But it's not. He wasn't great, but he certainly didn't detract for me from the film itself.
Do you know they were talking to Bryan Cranston?
Oh, yeah.
Zack Snyder was talking to him and elected to go a different route. I'm like, you made a bad call here. But, yeah.
Yeah, Cranston would have been an amazing Lex Luthor. And I will probably all of us wish to the end of our days that they'd gone that route.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. Totally. It's water under the bridge. What are you going to do about it? Doomsday, though. I loved this Doomsday. The thing about Doomsday is he could never be the villain for an entire movie. Why? Because he's dumb. He doesn't think. He is a killing machine. And so something that is all about brute force, you can't base a whole movie around that kind of villain. Lex Luthor is the kind you can do a movie around. But what Doomsday can do is come in and be Lex Luthor's tool to bring down Superman. And in that, I thought they did a fantastic job. Everything they threw at Doomsday just made him stronger and stronger. And so how do you, when you have these three people that are all about strength, except for Batman, he doesn't have, you know, Superman strength. But when all you have is really just force, how do you use that against a being in which force just makes them stronger? And that's where the kryptonite came in. So I really enjoyed the Doomsday. I think he looked fantastic. And I was actually glad to see that he killed Superman in whatever temporary way.
I agree with all those. Lex Luthor, I think, did fine, but he didn't blow me away. I was kind of I think he did a little too much Social Network in this. I mean, it's really the same character. And the end got a little too Joker-esque. Doomsday, the only thing I was really pissed about was they showed him in the trailer. I mean, now that I've seen the movie, and they tried to allude that, no, we didn't give everything away. You gave the entire ending away, you jackasses. And that really irritated me once I saw the movie, because I'm like, this would have been such a cool surprise. It does look way better in the movie than it does in the trailer, but it's still, I mean, I would have rather not known that, and that's just a bummer.
Lois, yeah, I mean, there were no surprises. That was one of the kind of the beefs I had was I mean, you like I said, recently it was one of the last things that was sprung, but it was sprung a few weeks ago or so, and. There was no appearances in there that were not leaked out in some shape, form, or fashion, whether on purpose or not. But
I didn't know that they were going to show Cyborg and, oh God, not the Flash.
Aquaman?
Huh?
Aquaman?
Okay, I knew they were going to show Aquaman. I didn't know they were going to show the Flash or Cyborg. So that was kind of a surprise. But other than that, yeah, I think most of the big reveals had kind of been done, though. Doomsday leveling up, so to speak, and getting bigger and bigger, I didn't know they were doing that.
The my only complaint about Lois, which I agree, I like Amy Adams, and some people are like, she looks so much older than Superman. Wow, really? If it's the other way around, it's not a problem, but you got a problem this way, shut up. So
yeah, exactly.
The one thing I don't like about her is every time Superman is in the midst of action, if he sees her, he has to have a moment. And that's on Zack Snyder, you dumb shit. Stop.
His mom is like about to die.
Yeah, and your mom's about to die, and you got time to have this little freaking conversation and weeping eye with her. Get the hell over to your mom's house. Let's go. Chop, chop.
I just hope they don't make her the this version of Mary Jane from the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
Where everything involves her. I mean, this is the worst girlfriend ever. You know, you've got You've got one of the most important jobs in the city, country, world, whatever. And your dumbass girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever, is in the middle of everything.
Can you stop getting in danger?
Right. You're the one person I need, like, as far away from here as possible. Go go visit your aunt in Utah. Just go.
I'm a goat shepherd in the hills of Israel or something.
All right. Here's the next clip. That's too funny.
Excuse me, miss. The other night you took something that doesn't belong to you. Stealing's not polite.
Is it stealing if you steal from another thief?
Who are you?
Someone interested in the same man you are.
Is that right?
The data you copied is military-grade encryption.
You know, I bet with that dress, 9 out of 10 men would let you get away with anything.
But you're the 10th.
I'm guessing I'm the first. I see through that babe in the woods act. You don't know me, but I've known a few women like you.
Oh, I don't think you've ever known a woman like me.
Oh, we'd like to. Yes, we would. I like how she tries so subtly to hide that accent. It's not working, gal. Just let it rip. I don't care.
What accent do you think she should have?
I don't care. I don't care about. I just wish she would stop trying to hide it. Just go with whatever you have, because I don't care what accent Wonder Woman has. She's not really from any country, so.
To me, she sounds kind of the same as she did in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, but it's
maybe I've never paid attention.
It's a noticeable accent. What's that, Brian?
Well, here's she's national, like real, like in real life, she's what, Israeli?
Yeah, that's why I say her Israeli accent.
Okay. Well, technically, that's Mediterranean, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's.
I don't know. I don't have an atlas in front of me.
It's on the edge of the. It's on the edge accent. Of the. It's on the edge of the pool. It's close enough to me. So she's all right. She's.
Where are you going Amazonian, with this? Amazonian.
She's Amazonian. Amazonian. Whatever. Which, for the most part, we kind of associate it with the Mediterranean area. So it works. I agree with you. Let it ride. Just let that accent come out.
Yeah. Just let it flow. Let it flow. All right. So what do you love about Batman versus Superman? Justin, dear God, you can go first. What do you love about Batman versus Superman?
Well, there's a lot, but I'm going to keep it to just
to 10
a
minutes. Couple,
what I liked about it is that most comic book films don't really pose anything that you would think about in any degree after the movie's over. It's usually about spectacle. But in this film, we get a lot of questions posed about, you know, what is the nature of power? Who's responsible? And it's what's interesting to me is now the mirroring that I'm seeing between Civil War and Batman versus Superman, whereas both of them kind of pose the question that if you are a person of power, who are you responsible to? And should you be responsible to anyone? We'll see how Marvel deals with it. But in Superman versus Batman, that's the question. Should Superman answer to someone? And if so, who should he answer to and why? And with Batman, you get this question of he's fought villains his entire adult life. Now he sees a man that's basically a nuclear bomb that could go off at any moment. He is so jaded and so battle weary that in Superman, he can't see a hero. All he can see is the potential villain. And it's like I said in my review that I wrote, Batman, to a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Batman's a hammer, and everything he sees is a nail, including Superman, which is probably the biggest, most dangerous nail out there. It's only through and this is the scene that I saw people bitching about earlier today, the whole Martha thing. To them, it didn't work. The reason it worked for me is Bruce Wayne's mother was Martha. He remembers that. You see that reference several times in the movie. Superman's mother's name is Martha, too. Is that coincidence enough to stop Batman from wanting to kill Superman? On the surface, no. But if you think about it in regards to the shared humanity, that even though Superman is an alien, he was raised on this planet by a human being. A human being named Martha, just like he was. And it's that, well, remembering that this isn't just a mindless alien killing machine. This is also a person. And it's that breakthrough that ultimately causes their battle to end. I loved it. I really love that. And I wish more people who watched the film would maybe take a little time to look at those elements and I don't know.
Well, I think some people are upset that it took, like, he got over it pretty quick. He's like, oh, shit, Martha.
Well, this is a fucking movie. I mean, you've got only so much time. If every moment that should have taken 10 minutes of conversation did, it'd be a 10-hour
I think film. That's a good argument if you don't have 45 minutes of slow motion.
I love that slow motion. Shut your face.
It seriously felt like, wait, your mother's name is Martha? Mine too. Did we just become best friends?
You just did a meme. I know you just did a meme because I saw that meme earlier. You meme.
I did not. I swear to God.
All you can do is think surface level, then that's it.
Now, come on. No,
I'm not
fair.
Saying that as an insult. A lot of people, when they watch,
it's like an underhanded insult.
No, it's like when you tell someone, well, what happens in the movie, to really understand it, maybe you should have read this. Or maybe you should something unassociated with the movie, and they say that that's unfair because you shouldn't have something outside the movie shouldn't be necessary for you to enjoy the movie. For some people, I think that also includes thinking about the dialogue beyond just the dialogue.
I think if they bumped it into a bar and started to fight, and then they all of a sudden it slips out that Martha, and then they have a conversation about it, and it stops a bar fight. Okay. But when you're at the point of raging so much that you've got a kryptonite spear, you're ready to just, you know, kill this guy.
You've orchestrated a murder.
Raging out. Yeah, and you've gone through all these hoops to track down this guy and build all this equipment to kill him and all this other stuff. And you get down to that, you get to the edge of that and go, Martha? Huh. All right. You must be a pretty cool cat.
I think when you hear your mother's name in a situation like that, it's going to call you. What? It's just an incongruous thing to have your mother's name said as you're about to kill someone. I don't know. To me, it worked.
It didn't bother me either. I'm just saying I get where people are coming from because it is really quick. Like, he's over it pretty fast. He orchestrated this malicious murder, and it pretty much just takes that reckoning. All right, now let's go team up and knock out this, whatever this thing is.
Hey, Justin, what's your mom's name? Next time we get into it, I just figure I'd drop it, and maybe we could end it early.
And we'll see if you guess it.
Oh, that's funny.
My mom has a lot of names.
So. All right. Brian, what did you love about Batman versus Superman?
I love Batman. I love what they did. Again, I mean, Wonder Woman is such a – is another character that you know, we've talked a lot about the backlash with Ben Affleck being announced as Batman. But Wonder Woman, there was not quite as much, but still a lot of discussion about it. I don't know if it was quite – people spewing hatred, but the everything from the over sexification of the character to, you know, all this strength talk and how are they going to portray her and all this other stuff. So I was glad to see what they did with her. I like that they're phasing out, or I should say minimizing, some of the smaller characters, hopefully to make room for some more of the bigger players.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need a movie filled with Perry White and Lois Lane and any Martha, whichever Martha.
I love Diane Lane, so I got to disagree on that.
So I think Martha Kent was her. I think she was a big part of Man of Steel. I don't think she's needed much in Justice League.
Okay, that's fair.
But overall, I guess there was a. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably about it.
Scott,
there's other stuff, minor stuff, but
right. Yeah. Scott, what about you?
Well, one thing that Justin alluded to already is that opening sequence where we kind of get the origin story of Batman real succinctly instead of for the first third of a movie. I loved that scene. The way that this is one aspect of the movie where I actually appreciated the slow motion. There's something artistic about having Martha's pearls wrapped around the gun as the trigger pulls and the pearls just kind of explode and. Mm-hmm. I just
blows thought, a face off.
Yeah, I just thought that was such an artistic way to do that, and really appreciated that we didn't have to spend a half an hour retelling that story, because who doesn't know that story at this point?
Not many people. Mm-hmm. Not many people.
There's right. About five people that live deep in the Amazon jungle that don't know that story at this point.
That have Israeli accents.
We will reach them.
Anything else, Scott?
Yeah, the other, my favorite moment of the whole movie, as weird as it sounds, was the reveal of those three characters, the Flash and Aquaman and remind me of the third
Cyborg.
One. Cyborg, which is a character I'm not familiar with. Like I said, I just felt like the movie was...
Oh, so you don't know the black character? That's how it is.
Yeah, imagine that. No, I knew that Jason Momoa was going to be Aquaman because we've seen the pictures and everything, and I just could not wait to see what he looked like, and I was almost bummed out we didn't get more, but I just love that whole sequence of Batman looking through those files and coming across those characters and those videos, and it really made me feel like, hey, we're going to really get an Avengers-style movie in Justice League coming mm-hmm. up, and it's kind of a bummer that was my favorite part of the movie, but I totally started getting giddy at that point.
Lastly, we've already talked about the characters ad nauseum, so I'm not going to go back to that. But I love the operatic feel of the movie. I like the weight of it. I think Snyder's a little heavy-handed, or a lot heavy-handed. But I do like that these movies feel contextually, story-wise, aesthetically, visually, every aspect feel completely different from what Marvel's doing. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what's wrong with that? Marvel's doing great things. Yeah, that's true. But I think they need to create their own identity, mm-hmm. and they're doing that. Now, maybe you don't love it. Maybe you prefer the approach Marvel has, and I get that because they were the ones that knocked it out of the park to start with. So that's kind of, that's become the template. And people are always nervous about any kind of change, and they sure don't like breaking templates. This is very, very different from those movies, and I like that about them. You've got a character and several characters that are godlike. Aquaman, who I don't even like as a character, but he is a god of the sea. Wonder Woman is basically a goddess.
She is a goddess. Yeah. She's the daughter of Zeus.
Superman is pretty damn close to a god himself. I mean, these are weighty characters. I don't want to see the same thing as Marvel, because Marvel, a lot of the that have been presented thus far have been very much everyday people that have had minor things happen that have elevated them to the next level. These are gods, with the exception of Batman. These are gods. And I love seeing the story told from that aspect. I'm not necessarily saying I love every movie, because I do think Snyder has almost too much confidence in his own approach. But I do love these movies.
I don't think I've ever heard that put that way.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
All right, so let's get in.
Can I do say something, though?
Sure. Is
just
there
real
anything
quick,
left?
I'll try to be really quick. You mentioned how these characters are gods. My favorite moment, I think, in the entire movie is when Batman crashes into Superman in the Batmobile, and then Superman gets on the Batmobile and rips the doors off.
That was pretty cool.
When Batman stands up, and you get that shot of both of them together, Batman may not be a god, but he is perfectly willing to fight a god.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see them standing toe-to-toe, they look like they could rip each other to shreds right there. And the power that courses between them is fantastic. And then when Superman says, the next time that light goes up in your city, ignore it, that's Superman just throwing the gauntlet down and saying, shut your shit down.
Mm-hmm.
That was a powerful moment for me.
Just
I
dropped
loved it.
The hammer.
I actually like how that was that whole scene was introduced, where Batman just rounds the corner and Superman is just standing there.
Just out of nowhere.
Just hits him and bounces off him. I think that was great.
Yeah, totally just like threw me off, and I went, oh! It was a very cool moment.
All right, now we get to the negative. What did you loathe? Didn't make sense? Wish they went another way? Whatever. Scott, you liked it the least of us, so you go first.
Well, the first thing you already mentioned at the beginning, but those dream sequences, so many dream sequences, and some of them just didn't, I understand they're dreams, but they just didn't make any sense, or again, they were alluding to something that was in the comics that I'm not familiar with. You had what looked like harpies floating around. You had guys with Superman emblems on their shoulders.
It looked rather Kryptonian.
Yeah, I'm okay with dream sequences when they're limited, but when I'm spending half the movie second guessing whether or not I'm watching something real or if I'm watching a dream sequence, I don't like that.
Yeah, where's Dennis Quaid? Yeah, I'm totally with you. The one in the desert where he's fighting, you know, Desert Batman is fighting God Superman and all his minions are around. I didn't like that one at all. I thought that was poorly shot and edited. I'm totally with you. There's actually moments where you see punches missing, and I'm like, who let that slide for a movie this huge? Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean the punch didn't connect, but the guy still fell backwards?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like WWE. Okay. Yeah. Scott, what else? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
The other big thing that kind of bummed me out was Superman's death, but not the fact that he died. I actually liked that they killed off Superman because, again, from what I've heard, that's a big thing in the comics and his eventual return. But I kind of wish they would have gone a different direction. Part of me really wanted Batman to take him out at that scene. I was almost rooting for Batman just because I wanted to see something that big happen. See, actually have a clear-cut winner. I knew we weren't going to because it was pretty much given away in the trailers. But I wanted us to walk away with a clear-cut winner. Batman, who wins?
We did have a winner. I think Batman won. I mean, he had him. He stopped himself.
Yeah, he didn't finish him. So
the Red Viper had the mountain.
That's a really good point.
But even in the comic books, when Superman fought Batman, at the very end of it, Batman let him go. But he did so by saying, I want you to remember to the end of your days the one man that beat you.
And that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted from this movie.
I did want that speech, that little speech.
Anything else, Scotty?
That's pretty much it. The other one was the Martha issue that Justin loved. It bugged me a little bit, but I think the way that he explained it makes a little bit more sense. But watching the movie, I'm like, really? You get the same name and everything's cool now?
I had actually forgotten that they both had mothers of the same name, so it kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I didn't forget, but it's a cinematic equivalent of Walk It Off, so I get that. Brian, what about you? What did you loathe, didn't make sense, wish they went another way? Anything?
A few things. Lex Luthor, I just, for the most part, just change him. Just make him more, I guess, what I'm accustomed to. The African scene with the CIA and the militia where Superman was framed for the kill, of all things to pin on Superman, that just seemed ridiculous.
See, I didn't think that's what they were trying to pin on him.
Yeah, they were.
I'm going to be seeing it again tomorrow. But I thought I remembered them saying that after he left and saved Lois and that warlord was dead, that afterward the village was attacked by other warlords who wouldn't have done it had Superman not been there. Or had Superman not come and then left? Maybe I'm misremembering, though.
I could be misunderstanding the situation, but from what I interpreted as, he was blamed for it.
And they killed Jimmy Olsen, which that part was kind of dumb. But
did they?
Yeah, the CIA person, Zack Snyder, came out and said that was Jimmy Olsen in the unrated cut.
Oh, I thought they had changed Jimmy Olsen to that girl, that woman character.
Nope. Okay. He did. And he's going to be named in the unrated cut. So, yeah. Huh. I didn't like that because it's like, but it's not a character I give two shits about. So people can be mad if they want. Anything else, Brian?
Yeah, the bat tornado. I don't know what. I've never seen. I don't care how many bats are flying around in a circle.
No, that was poetic. Court. That didn't really happen.
It was Poe's shit is what it was.
I didn't like it either.
No, that was purely a moment of fantasy.
It was purely eye-rolling bullshit is what it was.
Well, I think you thought that because you thought it was real, and it's not.
I didn't think it was real, and I thought it was kind of crap.
I just thought it was crap.
It was these bats were lifting him up to what he's going to become.
It was another dream sequence because we needed another one. We just keep stacking them up. That's what we had. Whew. I've got the editing. The editing really bugged me. There's some really bad transitions here. Slow motion. I think it was Scott that said when we walked out of the theater, he's like, this movie would have been 30 minutes shorter had they not done so much slow motion. And I almost agree with that. It's one of those things where I actually like some of the slow motion shots, but when you do it with everything you're doing, it takes you out of the movie. It doesn't involve you. It doesn't immerse you. And that's where I think Snyder has a struggle with a lot of fans, film fans in general, is that he never feels like he's coming back from it. It feels like he keeps going further into it. Like at some point, I'm going to see a 13-minute movie that's about 2 hours because everything is slow motion. And it becomes a little grating after a while. The Jesus imagery, even though I really love that idea that people look to Superman as a god, because I think that would happen in the real world. I think, like you were saying about Batman, I think that was a nail for Zack Snyder. Just hammering it away. I mean, even released it on Easter weekend. It's just a little too much. We get it. You don't need every other scene, it felt like, to have some kind of religious overtone. I like the aspect of it. I didn't need it hammered home. Again, Cavill, great Superman, lousy Clark Kent. And that's really, I just, That's about it. I mean, I really like the movie, but those are things that really bother me. And I get when people complain about them because they're legitimate complaints. There is some poor.
And how does Clark Kent keep his job? They mentioned at least like once or twice, like, where is he? Why is he always disappearing? Who keeps their job if you're always disappearing? Like if the boss knows you're on assignment, cool. Dude's up in Canada doing a story on molasses tapping or something, whatever, whiskey. All right, fine. But if you're supposed to be doing a story and you're not sitting at your computer, I mean, your ass is fired.
they're running out of people, Brian. I mean, people are dying in these skyscrapers left and right. They can't afford.
Granted, Metropolis population has dropped by probably 40%. I got that.
Justin, was there anything that you didn't like?
I've never really cared for this iteration of the Daily Planet stuff. How does a guy just walk in and become a reporter for the Daily Planet, the nation's biggest newspaper? Did he bring a journalism degree with him that he made up and printed on, off his laptop or something? And none of that really makes any sense, but I don't go to Superman movies for the Daily Planet shit. Mm-mm. And luckily in these films, it's a very small part of it, as opposed to in the Christopher Reeve one, which it had a bigger role. I think really my only complaint, it's not the way it's filmed. I love the slow motion stuff. I loved it in 300. I love that he's continued to do it. I loved it when they did it in the Matrix movies. I dig it. It pulls you out. It sucks me in because I feel like I'm getting a true sense of the power of these beings when it's slowed like that.
But, does it suck you in slowly?
And deeply.
So slow.
The two things I really don't.
It just kills you to say something negative, doesn't it?
No, actually, it's not even. It's really not even about the movie so much as it is about how they're going about it. One, why were we getting Aquaman action figures with the Superman and the Batman and the Wonder Woman? He's in it no more than the Flash or Cyborg is. So, but why is he suddenly a character that's got his figures coming out for the Batman versus Superman, but none of the others do?
It's the coolest because Aquaman.
They've got a lot of work to change the public perception of Aquaman. That's Aquaman true. Is generally considered a pansy. A worthless hero who can only help people in the water.
That's my perception.
Unless the fight goes to the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's a good point.
You want to avoid Aquaman? Stay out of the water. Yep.
And I have to say that I am still really disappointed that DC and Warner Brothers has not found a way to tie in their TV stuff with their movie stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Marvel's doing an amazing job of it. They can't make this work.
But again,
they're also trying to get their feet on the ground and get running with this stuff also. I mean, it's kind of like,
okay,
let's focus on one thing at a time.
Why not bring in a Flash that by the time, this came out, we've had 2 years of falling in love with this character. You bring an audience along with you.
I think
something like that.
You've praised that Marvel or that DC is doing it different. This is also different. So
it is different, but I guess I hate that there's going to be two different Flashes, and who knows what other characters there's going to be concurrently running versions of out there. I think it's a missed opportunity, but really as far as the movie itself goes, effing loved it. I got no problems.
Grant Gustin is a better Flash from what I saw. Yeah, he's so good.
You just saw a head of the Flash coming through some crazy looking static.
Grungy
in his
hair.
Computer room.
Yeah. Yeah. Go listen to Nirvana. Be quiet. All right, here's the next clip.
And now you will fly to him and you will battle him to the death. Black and blue. Fight night. The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night. Son of Krypton versus Bat of Gotham.
Ooh. All right. Justin, why don't you read our email?
All right. Well, we received an email from a listener regarding Man of Steel. And he said, it's from Major America. He says, I found a serious lack of depth to the movie. The opening scene was amazing, the destruction of Metropolis from Bruce's side. Then they never go deep into it.
No, this is from Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, not Man of Steel.
He says, then they never go deep into it. There is a statue of Superman the next time we see the city. Why use throwaway terrorist plot and bombing plot that go nowhere? They seem very superficial to me. Why not just build on the aftermath of Man of Steel? And then seriously, terrorists killed with guns is blamed on Superman? Why did Lois not do her job and write a story? It would have proven Superman did not do anything wrong. The bombing just had the death of the senator. Yeah, Bruce gets the notes, but why? Batman and Superman already faced off and threatened each other. It did not advance the plot. I'll just hit these real quick from my own point of view. I love the opening. I liked that they showed what happened in Metropolis, but from a different angle on it. And then the next time we see it, there's a statue, but they never go deep into it. You don't need to kind of go deep into it, but the whole film is about the responsibility of people with superpowers, and or should they be held accountable for when things happen during their taking down of a villain? I kind of think that runs through the movie, but on regarding different examples and not necessarily Metropolis. As far as the whole terrorist thing, especially regarding Lois Lane, I think this is one area in which the writers didn't do a very good job of explaining really one way or the other exactly what they meant, because you guys had a different impression than I had. My impression was that Superman was being blamed for the power vacuum that was created when that warlord in Africa was shot by Lex Luthor's people, but we didn't know they were Lex Luthor's people at the time. When Superman left, that power vacuum was being tried to be taken in. These other warlords were trying to fill it, and so they were torturing people and going into these villages. You guys thought it was something else. I think it's just an example of a little bit of bad writing on my part. But the one thing, though, that I do want to address is the bombing of the Capitol. There is a moment when Holly Hunter's character is having she's going to have a meeting with Superman in front of all the press and an audience, but when Superman arrives, suddenly there's an explosion and she dies. To me, the whole thing that led up to that moment was this building idea that the people were going to be afraid of Superman and that they were going to blame him for when there were consequences he couldn't foresee to his actions. By killing a senator with him in that room, it proved, one, fear him, but two, he ain't as all-knowing and all-powerful as y'all are thinking he is, because he was right there in the room and he didn't stop it. He didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that kind of spoke to a lot of things. And it wasn't just a bombing. It was a statement regarding Superman.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That statue of Superman, whenever I saw that in the movie, all I could think that entire time was, there is no way that statue would last in real life. Superman's like hand being held out, someone is gonna break off all those fingers, so there's just a middle finger left. If that were a real statue, that's all I could
think. I just think this speaks more to the bad environments maybe you're living in. Yeah, but no, yeah, you're probably right. That thing would have been, he would have been flipping the Metropolis off for years.
Now that brings us to the big questions. We've kind of talked about the movie ad nauseum. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. But is Zack Snyder the right director for Justice League?
No, I don't think so. I appreciate what he's done so far, but I'm at this point, you know, some solid groundwork's been laid. Considering Snyder's track record with sequels isn't very good, whether he makes the direct sequel or has his hand involved in it, they haven't really turned out very well. So I'm ready for a different vision and kind of want somebody to take it.
No, Vision's Marvel.
If I've learned anything from X-Men, I don't want one person to make just a, you know, whole slew of the movies from the same property. I just, I don't want that. I want it changed up, and I think it's time for a change.
Yep, I agree.
I don't think that he's the right one for Justice League, but I'm also speaking from a point of selfishness because I want Justice League to be not quite as dark. And I think that if Snyder were to continue in this, that it would continue to be this dark. I want it a little bit lighter. I want it to be a little bit more fun. But again, that's me being from the outside, not being a hardcore comic book reader. I want more fun. I want not necessarily lighthearted. Not a lot of, it doesn't have to be humor like the Marvel movies do, but I just want to see less dourness, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like I'm not going to see it. I can't wait to see what they do with Aquaman personally, but
Justin, I think I know your answer.
No, I love what he's done, but I agree. For me, these kinds of franchises prosper when you bring in more and more voices and perspectives. I think I agree with Scotty. I think it's time to lighten the color palette some, to bring the sun out a bit more. This was Batman versus Superman. It's a dark thing. It's a dark tone. It's a dark story. So you got to make it look dark. But Justice League, bring in some color, bring in a quality, you know, a real quality director. I'd love to see it.
All right. Well, this all builds to Justice League, DC's version of the Avengers. Was this a good intro? And what do you want to see from that movie when it finally comes out?
I want to see all of the characters at fighting ready. I don't want to see a lot of training crap. I want them all to be pretty much good to go from day one. I really want to see a good villain put into these films. DC's got a massive rogues gallery, so why not dip into it? I know a lot of people have said that they'd like to see Darkseid be the ultimate villain for this franchise. To me, he's too much like Thanos, and it would just look like you're copying. I think there are other big, massive villains you could go to and still have some success with. But bring in some color.
So, I mean, is there, again, not reading the comics, is there an assembling of these characters like they do with the Avengers? I mean, you're saying you don't want to have any of that?
You say at the end that Batman's going to gather them all up to fight what's coming, which I assume is Darkseid, right? That's what is alluded
probably
to.
Darkseid, yeah.
Or Darkseid, sorry. So yeah, I think that's what'll happen.
But the thing is that these guys, for the most part, are full-time superheroes, so they can kind of be constantly more available than the Avengers are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Avengers often quite... You can be a member of the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, and Alpha Flight.
Yeah, they're more of like a corporation at this point.
Whereas when you're in Justice League, for the most part, you're in Justice League.
I wonder if they're, you know, I wonder if what they're kind of building up to, setting the groundwork for, is kind of a red herring where with Darkseid is, oh, hey, we're setting it up for Darkseid, blah, all this. But it's actually Superman being the villain past Darkseid.
I think there's a possibility because of that. When Flash pops out at Bruce after he has, because I think some people thought that that was also a dream. I think that's Flash.
No,
that was,
yeah,
well,
I think
be.
That. It,
yeah,
I yeah. think it is. I think it's it, because Flash in the comics does have some experience with time travel type stuff. So
he does in the show too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. But,
DC's not watching it either, apparently.
They're like, we've got what?
Yeah, we've got a great Flash. We're going to ignore him. We're going to put him on Supergirl.
Oh, can I be on Supergirl?
Oh, boy, we're just running strong. All right, Brian, was there anything that you want to see from the next film?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of, I want to see more of a conflict between ideologies between these characters. I want to see how this Amazonian thinks how something should be handled against this underwater king versus a Kryptonian versus these other, you know, metahumans, as they're called in the movie. So I don't want it to be just one guy saying, here's what we need to do, you know, get them together. But I want to see them, you know, argue stuff, you know, fight, not necessarily, they don't necessarily have to physically fight, but have like great points as why handling it Batman's way is the wrong way versus how Aquaman wants to handle it versus how Wonder Woman wants to handle it.
Okay.
Because they come from such different places and even planets.
It if it's near water.
I was going to say, I say we fight in the water, guys.
Bring it home, guys. Come on. I like the introduction of the characters. It's a little on the nose, but it was fine. I mean, I realize they're behind the curve, so they're trying to catch up, and they want to. Yeah, they're trying to get their standalone movies out pretty quickly, which I'm looking forward to that. And it did make me look forward to the next chapter, and I really want to see the standalone movies because, I'll talk about the one I'm really excited about in a second. Because now we have a solid feel for the DC universe. How do you feel about all of it? Are they going in the right direction, Scott?
I feel optimistic, but very cautiously so. I kind of feel like the split reviews that this movie is getting. Some people, like Justin, love it. A lot of the hardcore critics are kind of crapping all over it. But I'm hoping that split is going to make the makers of the Justice League kind of go the direction that I personally wanted to go to. I actually, even Justin does too, a little bit of a lighter tone. With that said, I understand they don't want to be Marvel. They want to be their own thing and not just follow in their shoes by any means. But man, just make it a little bit more fun. The fights were fun in this one. I want to see more of these characters come together and it'd be fun instead of it just be so depressing.
I want to see Aquaman, which keep in mind, I have bashed the shit out of Aquaman as a hero my entire life because I think he sucks. But in the comic, I think for the most part, I have found him to suck. But Furious 7's James Wan is directing Aquaman. James Momoa is in Aquaman. I think I'm praying I'm going to get Vin Diesel. Yeah, Jason Momoa, Jason. Sorry. I'm going to get Vin Diesel driving around in a hot tub or something, fighting crime, whatever. I see that as being the most amazing DC movie ever. And I don't know why I feel that way. I just think Momoa is cool as hell. I think James Wan is a great director. And he made so much work with everything that went on with Furious 7. Man, I am so pumped for that. Wonder Woman looks good, and I'm sure it'll be a good film. I don't really care about Cyborg. I don't know anything about the character. Not because he's the black guy, Justin. It's just a character I don't know anything about. I'm just...
He thinks the lady doth protest too much.
Am I mentioning it too much? It's not because he's black. So it's...
But seriously, that poster of Aquaman...
It's awesome.
Got me excited to see it. It looked awesome.
Some people are like, he looks so grungy and BB. Oh, shut up. What do you want him to run around?
Break your ass.
The yellow shirt with the little Titan. What is it? Titan? Is that what they're called? Strident? What's it called?
Trident.
Trident. Hey, I was saying like half right
Strident.
On both sides.
Is it Strident bubblegum? Yeah. Some kind of chewing gum?
Shut up. I don't really know Aquaman.
It's throwing gum.
You don't know James Momoa either.
Yeah, that gum gets soggy underwater.
Jason Momoa. James Wan, Jason Momoa, I got him confused. I apologize. That's what I want. God damn it. Shut up. Brian, is there anything you want? I don't really care, but I'm asking anyway.
Well, I mean, as far as, you know, is it going in the right direction? Would you, after watching The Incredible Hulk, which was the second movie after Iron Man kicked off, and when they started, you knew at this point, you know they were building something bigger. You know, would you have said that Marvel was going in the right direction? I mean, probably not.
I did, but I liked it.
Probably not. I mean, I liked it, but I didn't think it was a great connective movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, the stingers were really the main tie-in with those things. But I would have said the same thing too. No, or I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably the best answer, the most positive answer I could give. So I'm optimistic. I'm intrigued. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the Wonder Woman movie and Justice League 1 and 2 and whatever else they're going to string out.
All right. And Justin, you're last.
I do think they're going in the right direction. I think the tone that they have established that differentiates them from Marvel is important and necessary. I hope they keep it up. Light in the color palette, but that doesn't mean light and necessarily the intellect of these stories. You know, I would like to see them stick to stories that have more going for them than just one guy must punch other guy to death. You know, really bring some philosophy to it. Not, I mean, not, you know, the architect at the end of Matrix Reloaded.
Oh, God.
But, you know, just bring something a little more heady.
Oh, my God.
And I think they've been doing that. Blech. I want them to continue to do
it's
that.
It's convulsive. Any parting thoughts on this as a whole? I do want to say I really want a Man of Steel 2. I want Superman to get his own proper sequel. I don't want... Because I do think Henry Cavill is a really good Superman. I don't really care what the dissenters think. I would like to see him get another crack at his own movie and not be just trapped in... Because I know they're going to do it for Affleck, so give Superman another one. I don't want to just see him in Justice League 1 and 2 and stuff. I want to see his own movie again. That's all
would
I
you,
want.
Where would you put that in the timeline? Like somewhere between the 18 months or after his inevitable
no,
return?
No, I got it, man. Oh, do boy. The Reds. Do the no, do it would be a standalone movie. Since I guess I'm assuming they've got for the most part the next 8 to 10 years planned with these movies, or at least close to it. But you do the Red Sun storyline where instead of it's an kind of an alternate reality type thing where instead of
it's all a dream. Superman, is that what the movie's going to be? No.
So instead of Superman crash landing in America, he actually crash lands in Russia and it's grows brilliant. Up Russian.
Mm.
It's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
You know, instead and so, of the and S, and it's a hammer and sickle and his shield on his chest.
Yep. So it's pretty cool. You know, it's a pretty cool, interesting story. And it's a one-shot deal, too. So it's not like it's this whole sub-universe or something like that. It's like, hey, big, you know, it's all wrapped up in one story. So, do something like that.
All right. Justin, or did you already go? I don't remember. We've all been talking forever. I feel like we've covered everything.
No, I think my only parting thought would be I hope that they don't go the Marvel route of creating too many characters. I mean, I love what Marvel is doing. I don't want it to ever sound like a negative, but I would like DC to focus on a fewer number of characters and you know hone in on them as opposed to so many that Marvel's been doing. But other than that, no, I love the film. I wish more people did. But, you know, I said that about the first one and so many other movies.
Yeah, and I think in parting we should all say, you know, haters gonna hate. So if you hated it, so be it. If you hate it for just because you want to hate it, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it sucks to be you. But if you legitimately don't like it, so be it. If you loved it, don't let the haters bring you down, man. Just enjoy it.
That was the last thing I was going to say is it sounds like I am hating on this movie, but I want to be clear. I didn't hate the movie. It a 5 out of 10 is
you didn't love it enough.
It's
yeah,
it's okay, right? Five
it
is
just
okay.
Felt okay to me, yeah, and that's really how I felt about it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I was just somewhere in the middle. I just think that with some better pacing and some of the fat cut, I would have enjoyed it a lot much more.
But here's what I would ask: if you do hate it, like you went, and you legitimately don't like it for whatever your reasons are, and you see a thread where people are talking about it excitedly. Just stay out of it. If you need to go in there just to tell them how wrong they are, I mean, don't we have enough of that? Do we really need more people doing that? Come on, man. Just let them have their enjoyment. Go find a hater thread. There's plenty of them. You don't need to ruin the people that are excited about it. And if you're excited about it, don't go telling all the people that didn't like it that they're wrong. I mean, it's just people see different things when they go to these movies, and hopefully you'll get what you want. If you didn't, so be it. It's all about the love. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Remember to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher. We are on Spotify now or your podcast app of choice. Please leave reviews if you can. And remember that the next time you go to a theater to see Batman versus Superman, buy popcorn.
I'm Batman.
See what I mean? There are so many drums.